We'll get started. Part two of the dating game, so you want to go out. Get started tonight. All right, let me ask you guys all, question number one. All right, you guys had an opportunity to discuss this, so this should be pretty easy. Question number one. What are some of the problems that arise from our dating relationships? Kim? Different value sets? In the back. Huh? Boys? Whoa! Huh? Wow, Alan went to the extreme there. Alan said babies! All right. Okay, all righty then. Chris? Fighting. What else? Liz? Just a few. Disappointment, rejection, and what? Giving too much away. Giving too much away. Ooh. We're going to talk about that tonight. All right? These are all problems that can come from our dating relationships. Hurt feelings, hurt emotions, breaking of trust. All these things can happen. All right? And everybody turn around and say hi to the Libby girls because they all just kind of showed up. So say hi! All right. Oh. Hey, Rachel, you can do it afterwards. Anyway, question number two. How can these problems affect future relationships? Okay. Uh-huh. Trust issues, yep, in the future, yep. Guys, want to answer any of these questions? Or do guys just kind of avoid these questions altogether? Chris? Huh? Sin could be a problem, could affect future relationships? Yeah, that's right. Sin could affect the future relationships. All right? There's all kinds of things that could happen. All right? So tonight, I've kind of dubbed this section of what we're going into the seven habits of highly defective dating. The seven habits of highly defective dating. All right? Defective dating, which means it's wrong. And got to remember, the principle here is, as Christians, we're kind of like this story. You guys ever go to the grocery store? All right? And you got two kinds of carts. You got carts that work, and then you got those ones that just kind of have a mind of their own, and they kind of swerve to the side. All right? And you know, it's always my luck that I get those carts that swerve to the side. But you know what? You know what's in control of that? The cart is in control of what we're doing. We're not in control. And you know, when we bring this idea of dating into the Christian life, what we're doing is that cart represents the world, and we're allowing the cart to swerve our philosophy of dating. We're allowing the world to swerve us to where it wants to go instead of allowing God to control it. Now, you guys may think that's a dumb illustration, but, you know, I think it's just a good idea of the fact that here we are, we grab this cart, this idea of dating, and we grab the world's perspective, and we allow it to control us. Instead of us allowing God to control the whole aspect. So we got to look at a few principles here, and I will move through these pretty quickly. But number one, highly defective habit is dating leads to intimacy, but not necessarily commitment. Dating leads to intimacy, but not necessarily commitment. We all want to be intimate. Often dating encourages intimacy for the sake of being intimate. Two people getting close to each other without any real intention of making a long-term commitment. I just want to get close to her because she's cute. I want to get close to him because he's hot. Did you see the arms on that guy? Whoa! Oh, he's too hot for me. All right. No, that's just what we think of intimacy. We want to just get close to a person. We want to be able to, you know, put our arms around them, you know, feel close. But it doesn't mean we're in for the long haul. Well, when you've served my purpose and you don't serve it anymore, then I'm going to get ready to find somebody else. People date because they want to enjoy the emotional and even physical benefits of intimacy without the responsibility of real commitment. You want to enjoy being intimate, but you don't want to be responsible. Intimacy without commitment awakens desires, emotional and physical, that neither person can justly meet. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 7, we read this last week, says, Solomon was saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, do not arouse or awaken love and its desires until love's time. Do not arouse them. And that's what false intimacy does. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6. We're going to be jumping around, so you're going to have your Bibles handy because we're going to be flipping from passage to passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, 6. Give you guys a few seconds to catch up with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6, and it says this. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. See, this says here, we need to not take advantage of that. And when we get intimate somebody with people, we're taking advantage of their willingness to be open. When we don't have the right to them, we don't own them. Intimacy without commitment is like, okay, this is really good. Intimacy is like icing without cake. It can be sweet, all right? But you know what? It'll end up making you sick. It'll end up making you sick. Intimacy without commitment is like icing with no cake. You can eat it and eat it and eat it, but after a while, it's going to make you sick. That's what happens. We get close to people, we get close to one another, and then we get sick of them because there's no cake. There's no commitment. We were intimate, but there's no cake. All right, you'll be intimate with. Okay, all right. Okay, Rachel just blows the curve on that one. All right. So number one defective habit is dating leads to intimacy, but not necessarily commitment. All right. Number two habit of highly defective dating. Dating tends to skip the friendship stage of a relationship. You go from, you see this girl, I want to get to know her, I really like her, and all of a sudden you've gone from being acquaintances to you're my girl, I'm your boy, whatever it is you want to be. Okay? You've skipped that whole friendship, and then you begin to learn about one another. All right? C.S. Lewis describes a friendship this way. A friendship is two people walking side by side toward a common goal. Two people walking side by side toward a common goal. And right now in your stage of life, your friend should have the common goal of what? God. Glorifying God. Building one another. Encouraging. Growing in the Lord. Intimacy without friendship is superficial. Intimacy without friendship is superficial. No, it's just a quote that if you want to write it down, you can write it down. All right? Intimacy without friendship is superficial. It's just one of those things it's on the surface. All right? There's no deep friendship. Dating habit number 3. Dating often mistakes a physical relationship for love. A physical relationship for love. You're holding hands. I'm holding hands. Guys, yeah, in the movie theater, you know. No, I was never. I was just kind of. I was the one that went like this. Crack. Ah, yeah. Sorry. No. I cracked her in the head. You know, with the elbow. Crack. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. But we often mistake the physical attraction for love. We say, I'm attracted to you physically, and we're holding hands, so that must mean we're in love. But what does 1 Corinthians 13 say about love? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I'm sure a lot of you can quote this one. 1 Corinthians 13. Starting in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Physical attraction could fail. Love does not. So we often, in dating relationship, we mistake the physical relationship for love. Defective dating habit number four. Dating often isolates a couple from other vital relationships. Dating often isolates a couple from Would you hand that to dating often? Dating often isolates a couple from the vital relationships. Elizabeth Elliot. How many of you guys know who Elizabeth Elliot is? Excuse me, if I get it out of my Elizabeth Elliot. In her book *Passion and Purity*, all right, which I have read for all you guys, you should read it. It's a good book. All right, it says, this is for the guys out here. This is, and for the ladies. All right, unless a man is prepared to ask a woman to be his wife, what right has he to claim her exclusive attention? Unless she has been asked to marry him, why would a sensible woman promise any man her exclusive attention? You see, when what happens is we get a date in the relationship, like everything else becomes like oblivious. You go home, you lock yourself in your bedroom, you're on the phone constantly, your friends, you forget about your friends. It's just that one-on-one, you know, everything else becomes oblivious. But you know what? You don't have the right. He doesn't own you. She doesn't own you. You have the right still to, unless you're prepared to be married, which, you know, looking around this room, you know, I don't think any of you teenagers are ready to be married yet, all right? Therefore, you don't have the right to give that away, or they don't have the right to own it. You can hang out with whoever you want to, as long as they're Christians. The exclusive attention so often expected in dating relationship has a tendency to steal people's passion for serving in the church and to isolate them from their friends who love them most, family members who know them best, and sadly, even God, whose will is far more important than any romantic interest. So many times we allow those relationships to take away from the focus that you guys have the freedom in studying and learning to become the Christians and the people that God wants you to be. It takes us away from that desire to be there. Defective dating habit number five. Dating, in many cases, distracts young people from their responsibility of preparing for the future. One of the saddest tendencies of dating is to distract young adults from developing their God-given abilities and skills. Instead of equipping themselves with character, education, and experience necessary to succeed in life, many allow themselves to be consumed by the present needs that dating emphasizes. We get lost in these relationships, and it takes our eyes off of the fact that we should be learning and preparing ourselves for future, for what kind of things we're going to be and what we want to do with our life. Where do we want to work? What's, you know, if you're interested in sports, you know, it's God give me the ability to be a great sportsman. That includes fishing, for all you fishermen out there, all right? You know, they got the Bass Championship. You know, those guys make some big bucks. NASCAR, if you want to drive NASCAR, you know, whatever it is. Ballet, if you want to do ballet, guys. I know Alan wants to do ballet, you know, so. All right? But the thing here is we get so focused on the relationship that we forget how to grow up. We forget that we're in this process of learning, and the experiences we gain from life help us to become better adults, better functioning people in the world. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race before us." What verse 2 say? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Our focus right now should be on Christ, running that race, getting ready, you know, preparing ourselves for the race of life of being a Christian and a model and example. That's what we should be doing. Defective dating habit number 6. Dating can cause a discontentment with God's gift of, you guys are going to love this word. Singleness. Ooh, I just said it. Singleness. It's a gift from God. Being single is a gift from God. Oh, no. Oh, I'm married now. All right. I'm married. That's my gift from God. My gift from God was my wife, you know, on top of my singleness. But you know what? I wish I could go back and take hold of that gift of singleness. Now, I'm sure there are many adults here that wish they could go back and take hold of that singleness. God gave us singleness, a season of our lives unmatched. This part of your life is going to be unmatched compared to any other. And it's boundless opportunities for growth, learning, and service. And we view it as a chance to get bogged down in finding and keeping boyfriends and girlfriends. It's an opportunity for you guys to grow, to serve, to learn, to be prepared. This idea of being single gives you greater opportunities to serve God. Because guess what? Who are you responsible for? Yourself. All right? I am, as a husband, I am now responsible for my wife, my 2 sons, my cat. Oh, never mind, not my cat. All right. Huh? Yes, he's another boy. Yes, cat. Yes. All right. I'm responsible for those people. I'm responsible to protect them. I'm responsible to provide for them. See, when you're single, you're responsible for you to grow, to mature, and get close to God. That's all. But so many times we forget, we just bog our life down with these endless relationships. Defective dating habit number 7. Dating creates an artificial environment for evaluating another person's character. All right? When you guys go dating, you don't really get to see the person. The guys are going to try and charm their way into your heart. Girls are going to try and charm or you know, kind of sweet talk their way into your heart. And you don't really learn each other's characters. It creates an artificial environment that doesn't demand a person to accurately portray his or her positive or negative characteristics. When we go dating, you know, I'm trying to impress the girl. So I'm going to put on my best behavior. So I'm going to act like I don't normally act. Oh, no. I'm well past that. You kidding? But you know what usually happens? Is they do that, and when you get married, all of a sudden something changes. Who did I marry? Oh, my goodness. What did I do? But that's the whole thing is dating. You're just shooting. It's portrait. You're not really getting to know each other's positive and negatives. To know what makes the person tick. Where can I encourage them to grow more? How can they encourage me to grow more? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24. We're gonna just finish up here in Ephesians. Ephesians 4. I keep passing it. 22 to 24. And it says, okay, here we go. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, before we were Christians, we had this old way of life, this world's philosophy of dating that inundated us. But now that we're Christians, we have to put that off. We have to put off all those things, the world's philosophy, the world's view, and we have to put on the new man. We have to put on the new character, the new attitude that God has given us. So what does that look like in this idea of dating? Well, there's 5 attitudes that will change and help you avoid these defecting dating habits. 5 attitudes you have to put on. Put off the old and put on the new. The first attitude is every relationship is Every relationship is an opportunity to model Christ's love. Every relationship is an opportunity to model Christ's love. If you go down in Ephesians chapter 5 there in verses 1 and 2, it says this. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. See, every opportunity, every relationship you build is an opportunity to model Christ's love. An opportunity. Matthew 22, 37 to 39 says what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. This is the first commandment with, all right, the second is like it, which is love thy neighbor as thyself. All right? So you have this opportunity to people, you have this responsibility as a single person to model Christ's love, sacrificial love to them. Number two attitude that you should put on. My unmarried years are a gift from God. These years that I'm not married is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Until you realize the gift of singleness, you'll probably miss out on the incredible opportunity it holds. Once you if you guys don't get the gift that you have in being single, you'll miss out on the opportunities that God has for you to learn, to grow, to be used, to touch people's lives. As a single, you have the freedom right now to explore, study, and tackle the world. You have that opportunity. Attitude number three that we need to put on to help us avoid defective dating. Intimacy is the reward of commitment. I don't need to pursue a romantic relationship before I'm ready for marriage. Intimacy is the reward of commitment. Once you commit to somebody, that's when intimacy comes. And that is in marriage. The only place. Put off, put on. The fifth attitude. Oh, I love this one. I cannot own someone outside of marriage. Outside of marriage, I cannot own you physically, emotionally, mentally, anything. Nobody has the right to that except for your husband or your wife when you get married. Outside of that, no one owns you except for God. Because what? You are bought with a price. You are God's. He's the only one. But you know what? So many times we give that ownership over from one person to the next person to the next person to the next person, on and on. We give that up. Attitude number five, the last attitude. I will avoid situations that could compromise the purity of my body and mind. I will avoid situations that could compromise the purity of my body and mind. Where, when, and with whom you choose to spend your time reveals your true commitment to purity. Next week, we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about this idea, in the idea of dating, about purity. What does it mean to be pure? And you know what? Purity goes beyond being sexually pure. And that's why this statement, when, where, and with whom you choose to spend your time reveals your commitment to purity. Are you committed to being pure? Are you committed to avoiding those things so that your body and your mind will be pure before God? Throw off everything that hinders and run the race. Run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Throw it off. Put off the old man and put on the new attitudes of Christ. One final thought for you guys. You and I will never experience God's best in singleness or in marriage until we give God our all. We've held on to our old attitudes, foolishly clutching a lifestyle that the world tells us will bring fulfillment. God asks us to hand them all over to him. Have you handed everything over to God? Have you given him every area of your life? Are you willing to give him this area of, you know, I like this girl, or I like this guy, but Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, and I'm going to seek out and find out what this gift of singleness is and grow closer to you so that I can have a right relationship with you and be pure and blameless before you. You'll never experience God's best in singleness or in marriage until we give it all over to Him. Why do we trade in $1 million we can have later for $1 today? Why do we do that? Because we want instant gratification. Can you wait? Are you willing to do what God wants? Are you willing for His best? I'm going to pray, and then you guys can break up into your groups. And your groups, well, when you get discuss your question, when you get done, you guys can pray and dismiss your groups. So when I get done praying, I want you guys to break up into your small groups. Father God, we thank You so much for what You have put before us. Lord, how You have come to us and You've given us a new heart, a new mind. Lord, I pray that we can put off the old man. We can put off the old thinking, the old ways of life. Lord, that we can put off the sin that snares us and that we can run before us the race that You've set before us, looking at You always. Lord, enjoying this gift of being single, this idea of waiting, this idea of being pure and blameless before You and learning to be more like You. I pray, Lord, that we can be imitators of You and we can walk in Your word. And Lord, that as we go through life, that we would put off the world's philosophy of dating and put on what Your word has said, Lord. That we would walk in a way that is that we will not offend anybody, Lord, and we won't seek to own somebody that we don't have the right to. Lord, just bless us tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen.